Hi everyone, and thank you for joining us on another episode of Lid Publishing's podcast, Lid Radio. My name is Miro, and I will be your host for today's show. With me today is a returning guest, and it is the author of Revolution in a Heartbeat, Matt Stevens. How are you today, Matt?
Hey Miro, doing really well, thank you.
It's great to have you with us again on the podcast. It's an absolute pleasure. And before we get into today's themes and topics, I would like to give the audience a bit of an introduction to Revolution in a Heartbeat. Can you perhaps give us a quick rundown on what the book is about?
Yeah, sure. So the book was really written as a way of exploring how I think the future of engagement is going to be and what it's going to look like. And what does that mean practically? Well, probably three things. One, it's very much about being in real time. So the book explores how we need to move away from an annual engagement survey once a year where you ask 1,000 questions and then you don't ask anyone else again, to a much more real-time where in the moment, in the experience that employees are having, you're finding out how they're feeling and what they're thinking about some of the experiences that they're having. So that was the first one. The second was about moving to being much more transparent. So again, with traditional surveys or sort of listening tools, they're not transparent in showing you the results. They're opaque. And so it's hard to see what happens to the results or what they're sharing and what they're telling you. So for me, I believe the future is about transparency, just like it is in social media, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. Everything's much more transparent. You can see what people are doing in their lives and what's going on. So that should be the same in business. And then thirdly, it's very much around recognizing the importance of emotions and that emotions matter. They drive engagement and disengagement. And so we have some really good case studies, four case studies from Time Inc. Through to ARN, a technology company, looking at the impact of emotions on the workplace and on how people perform and how engaged they are.
Great, perfect. And I think that's a very important question. As a matter of fact, how engaged are your employees really, if you think about it? And the topic of today's podcast is the five senses of value. Since value is something that we all strive to achieve within the work environment, I think it's very important that we focus on that and on the five different senses that lead to it. And my first question for you, Matt, is can you actually give us some background on what these five senses of value actually are and why are they so important?
Yeah, of course. So, you know, when people think about values, often they think about the poster on the wall. You know, they see, you know, someone says, you know, we're going to be entrepreneurial or we're going to be vision. And they're used to kind of seeing it or seeing it in business, you know, on the walls or maybe on a mouse mat. And that's often how people think about values. But we actually believe that it's about how you bring those values. How do they come to life? And that's why we talk very much around the five senses. Because unfortunately, you know, often values have become almost toxic, or certainly they provoke cynicism and they can damage the credibility of the organization because they're seen as just these watchwords that, as I say, are on walls or on mouse mats. But we know that values can have massive, massive impact. And so we borrow some insights from research into human senses, which tell us that really our five senses of sight, hearing, touch, smell, and taste, they don't act independently. Rather, they work together. And this collaboration is what helps the mind understand and draw conclusions about the world and actually about the importance of those values. So adapting the values means that they will have meaning and impact if they are reflected in each of the senses.
Yes, absolutely. And actually, there's something that you said there that really strikes me as quite interesting. And that's what you said about values being sort of an afterthought or something that people put on, you know, mugs and pens and then they sort of forget about it when it comes to the company. But why does this happen? Why do businesses often change or refresh their values or forget about them altogether?
The number of reasons, I think, have them to do with often a change of leadership or situation. So what I mean by that is new leaders come in, and as we've seen many times, they bring their own new values and they want to refresh the values. And so that's really zeitgeist moment. Everyone gets excited, and then after 2-3 years, they kind of begin to wane. Then the next leader comes along, and so they change again, and they kind of get some excitement around them, and then they kind of get forgotten about. So often change of leadership has something to do with it. I think another one is this environment. And, you know, when we think about that, we think about Enron, you know, it's a very famous case from a number of years back where effectively they weren't following their own values. And they got things wrong because often what happened was the values had kind of fallen by the wayside. But actually the external changed and required them to be thought about. And also if you think about Barclays, it's a quite interesting case there where they've done a huge amount of work on their values in the last 2 to 3 years. And a lot of that came out of the financial crisis around that happened particularly within banking. And a recognition that, again, the values have just fallen by the wayside, often in the pursuit of profit, often because leaders had lost a focus on it and other things have become more important.
And why is it that some values, not all, but some, tend to lack impact and effectiveness when it comes to the workplace?
Yeah, well, that's a really interesting thought, actually, to kind of just play with it a little bit. Well, I think for us, one of the things we see a lot in Heartbeat when we work in different organizations is candidly because leaders aren't living. And if leaders aren't living, then people do watch that, they see that, and they think, you know what, they're not important. So we do. We're working with a very large global banking group, not one I've mentioned. And there was a real challenge going on because they were very money-minded, very profit-orientated. And I remember very clearly one of their senior team saying to me, senior analysts, if you like, saying to me, but look, Matt, we know the leaders don't live these values. So right. Why should we?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so I think the other one, Amira, is because they're too bland. You know, I think if you say something like honesty, well, what does honesty mean? We all want to be honest, right? It's almost too bland, and we take honesty as sort of red, as kind of how we want to be as human beings. So I think you've got to make sure that they're not bland and kind of, you know, just a bit beige, so that there's no excitement or passion or enthusiasm for them. And then the last one, we saw this recently with a fashion company we were working with, was that they didn't actually reflect, the values didn't reflect the people. And so they pretty much ignored them and said, you know what, we're not going to live them because we don't think they reflect who we are.
That's interesting. And I think it's definitely a trap that companies can really fall into if you sort of go for the sort of, you know, stock approach and just say, well, these are the things that people usually value, so we can go for them. And then people are very disconnected and this happens. But going back to the idea of the five senses of value, and I'd like to focus on the word senses, because sight and hearing are actually two of our senses, which we often place at the top when it's compared to our other ones. How do they translate into values?
Yeah, good question. So I think sight is about seeing the values, and I don't just mean when you put up an email or text, but actually in the way people behave. Let's play back to the previous question around why they don't come to life, because people don't see them. So they'll look to their local line managers, they'll look to their colleagues to reflect the values of what they do and how they behave. And they also need to be able to see the values at work in other parts of the organisation. So regularly communicating examples of where people live by the values and the impact this has had will definitely keep them in people's mind. It re-emphasizes their importance and shows that they can help. So in other words, people need to see examples and evidence. Otherwise, the values risk being forgotten or devalued. I think people also need to hear leaders and managers talking about the values and why they're important, what they mean. And let me kind of earth that a little bit more. Leaders need to refer to them whenever possible. So in team meetings, when they're making decisions, the policies that they're implementing, they need to refer back to how the values have influenced, shape those policies and decisions that they've made. So, for example, we're introducing cross-functional teams because of commitment to work collaboratively. So in other words, you know, they're showing that they want to be collaborative. Well, it means we're going to have cross-working teams, and that's the impact it's had. And I think when people hear them talked about in their daily work, they can start to understand more about the impact they can have, and they'll start to believe that they mean something. So it's almost hearing the stories of what's gone on. So not just seeing people live them in their day-to-day behaviours, but also hearing the stories of how they're being brought to life.
Right. And let's move on to other senses, and that touch and smell. What is their impact when it comes to values?
More powerful than you would imagine, actually. So, you know, values will have a far greater chance of successful impact when people can see their fingerprints on them. So they or their colleagues have to have some part in the values development. And we're really, really passionate about this. Values mustn't be decided by leaders who go off to Switzerland or America for a five-day retreat and sit in a lovely five-star hotel, sipping champagne, pondering the future of their company. That's the worst way to do values, but you'd be amazed how many people do it that way.
It is very entrancing if you think about it, yes.
Yeah, it's really sad because where this sense comes into its own is in that people can see their fingerprints on the development of values. And it doesn't need to be decided on by a huge committee or agreed by vote, but it's important we have a cross-section of people involved in fine-tuning the values and chance to challenge and ask questions about them. If the organisation wants their people to feel ownership towards them, and they've got to let them touch them and feel them and have their fingerprints on them at the beginning. Yeah, so smell. Well, this is a crucial sense for values because people can sniff out insincerity quickly. You know, a whiff of values just being developed is a good thing to do and nothing more. Really turn rapidly into a smell of decay. So you've got to be authentic. And an organization's values need to be embedded in every aspect of the employee experience, all the way from employee branding, so which first attracts people through recruitment, personal development, performance management, from the competencies, training, pay and management, style. Values have got to be, the smell of the values has got to be throughout everything. So it's almost that you go, I can smell this entrepreneurial spirit at the beginning. I can sniff it out. And then here I am 6 months in and I'm being challenged to be more entrepreneurial by my manager. And my performance manager, I get the whiff again of, I've not been entrepreneurial enough. Can you see, or can you kind of sense how it can come to life as people get the whiff of it every day in different situations?
Yeah, that is a great way of putting it. You can almost sense the electricity when it all comes together, I would say. And finally, I want to talk about the most unlikely of senses, and that's the sense of taste. And at first, it is the most unlikely candidate to be a subject of value. How do we work with it?
Okay, so bear with me on this one. Because I think this is critical, as you say, that have impact, you know, the values, especially the core values, have got to reflect organization's personality. In other words, they've got to have the right flavor. That's a key part of taste, isn't it? The flavor. And so it's got to be something that people resonate with day to day. The ones that they'll put into practice, you know, ones that, in a sense, this is what it tastes like. This is the flavour of our organisation. So if people came in from a completely different organisation, they could almost, again, taste through conversations, through watching, through being part of the interactions with the people, they could get the flavour of the organisation. And you know what? This is one of the most exciting ones because each organisation has a different flavour. You know, some have a bit more of a sour, a strong, bitter taste, and then some have a really sweet, simple, taste. So it's kind of finding your flavour and being willing to flow with it.
Great, perfect. And with that, I would like to thank you very much for joining us today in the first episode of our series, Matt. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Not a problem, thank you.
And of course, for our listeners, all relevant links will be in the description below where you can find out more about the book and Matt and his team's work. But of course, as we mentioned, this is a series of two podcasts, so feel free to join us later on in this week where we'll be doing our second episode in the series and we'll be talking about emotions at the workplace. Once again, we thank you very much for joining us today on the podcast and we look forward to seeing you next time.